I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Verrett. This is Central Time.
Now, a look at the humble cowbell. What started as a farmer's prop is now a legendary musical instrument. But how did we get there?
Lori Rotenberg joins us now. She's a writer and a journalist. Her piece, More Cowbell, From Herdsman's Tool to Cultural Icon, appeared on Modern Farmer. We've linked that, by the way, on the Central Time Facebook page. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today. Hello, Wisconsin.
Well, Wisconsin is interested in its cowbells. What do we know about the origin of the cowbell?
Well, it starts about 10,000 years ago and was definitely something herdsmen used. You know, what kind of animals, probably goats, sheep, lambs, or whatever, might have been around, you know, that long ago. And they started out being used with snail shells, then progressed to stone, wood, bronze, and, you know, metal, iron, things that we have today, you know, the four-sided cowbell, which is different than what they use in Europe, which is a rounded cowbell.
What was the purpose?
That would be the start.
What was the purpose of these original cowbells?
To keep track of animals. And, you know, in more modern times, a lead cow, you know, their best cow or the one that would lead the herd out, would wear a larger bell. Perhaps a new calf would wear something smaller. So it was both a tool that the animals could listen to where each animal would be in a pasture or in a field, and as well the herdsmen could tell where they were, you know, especially at dusk and bringing them back down from a pasture.
You mentioned a rounded European cowbell. Why do we have a distinctly American one, and what's different?
In Europe, they're rounded, you know,
more like a bell.
I think it was more the style, you know, the style of it. It has a little bit more of a ring sound to it versus the ping that the American style has. And again, what I would suspect is the size of the pasture. And then towards the end of the story, it sort of tells you a little bit about, you know, I think it's the D model gives a deeper ring in the U.S. so you can hear it a little bit further. But it's just a style and how we design them. But in Europe, it's a little bit more of a ringing sound.
It seems like these days, if you're in a rock band, you're legally obligated to use a cowbell. How did it make the jump from just being this agricultural thing to being a musical instrument?
The way musicologists think it happened was it started with both Gustav Mahler and Richard Strauss, starting in the early 1900s, when both at different times wrote symphonic works. And it was very avant-garde at the time, but each used cowbells in pastoral movements to bring to mind to listeners, again, the peacefulness of the fields. And both men had grown up around agricultural areas, and Mahler in particular really held fast to that in his life, but they were very well aware of the cow parades and pasture. So they brought that in for, when they wrote symphonies that had to do with mountainsides, and in Mahler's symphony, in specific in number 6, it has a lot, it's a very dark symphony that has a lot to do with a lot of things. But it was to bring that idea in of peacefulness in a pastoral sense. So they brought cowbells in to have the listeners feel that and would use them during those movements. The percussionists would either, you know, jingle the bells, or in Mahler's case at one point, I think in Vienna, he had the percussionist walk through the symphony, through the orchestra, and have it around his neck.
I'm sure he loved that.
Kind of like a roaming cow. And what happened?
Punishment for the bad percussionist.
Really, the kazoo was in his other pocket. But what happened subsequently was, you know, it became a percussionist tool, and to better control the ring, they removed the clapper, and, you know, then hit it with likely a drumstick or some other thing they had.
Well, we have a sample of some of that early symphonic cowbell. Let's take a listen. I think this is the Mahler.
So it was just kind of clanking around there in the background. Well, it made the jump into rock and roll. And we'll go to another clip right away. I think one of the ones you refer to. I think we have Grazing in the Grass.
Oh, sure.
Here it is.
A little clip of grazing in the grass there. It's funny, with the Mahler, you kind of smell churned butter. But with this one, it's really made a jump. This is not, you know, your grandfather's cowbell there.
No, it's like, get your cow on. Don't you? You just picture somebody in a little cow suit wiggling. But, yeah, it's very different. And the drummers, percussionists now use it in such a variety of ways that it's pretty amazing what they can do with one.
Well, interesting. A lot of times when I think of rock songs, I think of quarter notes, like clank, 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 clank. But that one was 16th notes. Deca, 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 deca. You don't hear quite that rapid fire cowbell that often, I don't think.
It's not a precision instrument sometimes.
Yeah, I think Glenn Cochee said it, you know, it's a wonderful instrument of timing, you know, to keep time with and to create a rhythm. And he, of course, is the musician with Wilco, who is mentioned in the piece.
And then a Saturday Night Live spot really put the cowbell on the map, sometimes in an annoying way for people in bands. But let's give a listen. Christopher Walken in the famous Blue Oyster Cult cowbell skit.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
So that, I mean, that went viral. That was one of the early TV things to go viral in a way. And that's, in a band, I think the phrase more cowbell being yelled out has replaced Freebird from the audience. How did that capture people's imagination so much?
Yeah, the Saturday Night Live skit?
Mm-hmm.
I think probably because they were able to associate it with the music. I don't think they really ever thought about the drummer or a percussionist playing that. And, you know, it was always so hidden in the music that I don't think they even equated it with cowbell. You know, they made that distinction, the word, the vision of it. And I think it was the contrast of Will Ferrell's body and that bell that put the two things together. And from there on, I think people have been able to really hear the cowbell in a song, but also equate it with that video.
Does everybody like the cowbell, or is it a polarizing instrument, like, say, oh, I don't know, the saxophone?
Hey, what?
Rob plays the sax.
I think most people like it. I think they thought it might have been overwrought in the 70s and 80s music. You know, a lot of the hair bands used it, and it would always be a lot of the same lead-in that you'll hear in Def Leppard's Rock of Ages. You know, it would
classic
kind of
song.
That. Yeah. Yeah, but I think in sports they maybe get tired of it, but I'm not so sure they do in music.
Well, it's still around. We pulled a clip from one of the summer's biggest hits, Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke. Here it is. All right. Now, I'll say I heard that song a zillion times, and you're right. Like, I didn't really think, oh, listen to that cowbell, but now that I'm looking for it, yeah, it's obvious. It's right there.
I think that cowbell sounds processed. That's why you didn't notice it. That cowbell has been through some stuff.
Well, everything's been through stuff these days.
You know, they can sound that way. If you take a look on a drum kit, they come in different sizes, and they will have a clear sound like that without any reverberation almost. I don't even know what to say, but they can sound that clear. You know, it sounds to you probably very mechanical, but they can be that way.
It does. It sounds kind of synthed up to me.
Yeah, listen to it in Lay Lady Lay, in Bob Dylan's song, and you'll hear something very, very clear, very beautiful, by the way. It's just a mournful cowbell.
Well, is the cowbell still being used? Are there still cows trotting around with these bells on today?
Oh, absolutely. It's in Europe a lot, and mentioned in the piece is a place called the Bevan Bell Company in Connecticut that had a fire, I think, in May of 2012. And at the time that their plant burned down, they still always made cowbells, but they were selling them again, sending them to a lot of younger farmers who wanted to farm in the 19th century way, more sustainable farmers. And they were, again, putting, you know, the bells on their cows. And you will find it in the heartland, in the Middle West. But what is also happening on larger farms is that they're using GPS to keep track of the cows and, you know, put chips in them to be able to locate them. So it's a little bit of both worlds, but there had been a nice movement back to it, and you will still see it, but you'll definitely see it in Europe a lot more than the United States.
Well, we'll watch for them. Lori, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
That's Lori Rotenberg. She's a writer and author. We have a link to her piece, More Cowbell, on the Central Time Facebook page.